Health and community psychologist Dr. Marnie Lishman. Good morning, Dr. Marnie.
Good morning.
I read a piece. There was a presenter on TV. She's complaining about getting old and sort of starts off with some of the minutiae of getting old, and then there seems to be a bit of anger in what she's saying. And I just thought about the whole business of getting old. Are there any upsides?
Of course, it's a privilege to get old. Some people don't get to get old.
That's
so
true.
I think we have to have gratitude for that. But I think articles like that, I think people are just trying to explain how different or even shocking it can be when, you know, hairs are growing out of your face and you're a woman, etc. It can be quite confronting. So I think that's what it's about, is not a complaint of getting old. It's more about, oh my God, there's so many changes that are happening to me and I haven't quite caught up with what's going on yet.
She says, on a scale of Bridget Jones' undies to varicose veins, facial hair is right at the top of the list of the most unattractive features for a female. But of course, males have problems too. I mean, you know, it's so stupid. You lose the hair on top of your head and it grows on your ears. I mean, who thought of that? If I was in charge, it wouldn't be like that.
Well, I know. And that's the thing, isn't it? Is that quite gradually, I think, things that used to be up are now down, and things that are growing out of one part of your head is now growing out of another. Or it's just, yeah, things are all over the place. And I think it takes a while for your mind to catch up. And, of course, chronologically, people are getting older.
Yeah.
But subjectively, often we feel a little bit different, like we might feel quite young. So, it's quite hard to reconcile.
I have read that actually we mature to a certain point. I mean, I don't know whether this stuff is true or not, but said mentally we're about 26, but our body just keeps getting older, despite the fact that mentally we might be 26, but in reality we're 56.
Yeah. Exactly. And sometimes that happens the opposite way for other people too. But I recently read an article that actually said the most unhappiest age is around 47. And it's kind of like a bell-shaped curve that we have, where in our 40s, it's quite people get quite depressed. So they're panicking about aging. But as you kind of get over that hill, then you start getting used to it and using that kind of midlife crisis of sorts to try and put yourself on a better pathway than you were when you were younger. So it can get better.
Yeah. How does it get better?
You tell me. There's a lot that happens. I think, once we get middle age in particular is a very busy time. Like, it's often the most busiest time for adults, isn't it? A lot of people are still raising children. They're working a lot. Mm. They're often looking after elderly parents. They're often the wise people in society. So there's a lot going on for people in middle age. And I think in those moments, we're confronted with getting older and starting to think, ooh, you know, I might be halfway here. Is there anything I can do now to make sure that the rest of my life or the next half is better than the first half? And then they start putting some changes in place using the wisdom of their early years.
See, in my case, my life for the first few decades, it was such a roller coaster. I just never thought about things like that. And I'm not saying I'm not totally without introspection, but it's not something that I contemplated. But I suppose, I mean, we kicked off here talking about this lady on TV. If you're going to be a lady on TV, then I guess you do worry about aging, because a lot of it depends on your appearance, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does. Certainly does. And I think just women in general, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that a lot of women probably are, kind of focusing on those physical changes as well. And a bit of a panic sets in, probably more so than men do. But if you're in the public eye, of course, that feeling is going to be exacerbated somewhat. But it's great that people actually write about this and talk about it, because I think a lot of people do resonate with that initial panic of aging, whether you're male or female.
Let me get your reaction to this. A few years ago, a woman I know who was then in a senior position in a well-known and very large corporation told me that a friend of hers who was similarly employed said to her, and I guess they were probably in their mid-30s at the time, and the friend said, "It's a sad day for a woman when you walk into a meeting and realise you don't have the power of your sex appeal anymore."
I don't think you'd be able to say that anymore.
But apart from saying it, I mean, do people feel it, do you think?
As in feeling the recipient of that, or do you think people still think that?
I don't know. I was just wondering, because I was discussing this with somebody and they said, oh, yes, well, you know, if you're on TV, if you're in the media, obviously it's important. It wouldn't matter if you worked in the bank. And I said, well, and then I told this story about these two women in big corporations. And I honestly don't know whether they were able to use their imagined power to propel themselves up the corporate ladder, or they just imagined it, or they just thought, you know, they're getting little flags that the boys weren't looking at them the way they used to.
Yeah, I mean, you hear similar comments, don't you, from, I guess, Hollywood actresses as well, you know, kind of saying that they don't get as many roles as they did before when they were kind of youthful and beautiful and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that has been around for a long time, hasn't it? But I just don't think people would get away with that or even saying that anymore. But I guess...
But even to their friends, I mean. Yeah, they wouldn't say, yes, you can't say that. Yeah, I guess I was watching a thing. I won't use the exact language, but you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who plays Elaine in Seinfeld.
Yes. Yes.
She said, I think they're having a meeting to decide whether I'm still, insert graphic description, anymore. And, you know, I mean, she was sort of laughing about it, but maybe it had a downside as well. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, then there's almost a invisibility, isn't there, that I think a lot of maturing women feel, probably more so than maturing men feel, because I guess maturing men feel like they've been noticed or celebrated or recognised or acknowledged for their whole self, whereas in this, I guess, patriarchal society, we'll say that it's been kind of conditioned for women to be regarded by their looks. And I think we're squashing that now, aren't we, in terms of having these very robust discussions about how wrong that's always been. And I don't think it would be tolerated at all in society now, and people get kind of ripped apart, don't they, when they have these sorts of talks.
I suppose so. You know, we're generalising too, by the way. In this line of work over the decades, I have met some women who would be considered older, but they still got it.
What's that? What's still got it?
Whatever it is, you know, that the frisson of sex appeal, charisma, whatever you call it, yeah.
The charisma. And that goes for all genders, doesn't it? There's people that, have that confidence, and I think that's what part of this, isn't it, is the charisma and confidence.
I suppose so,
And that kind of strength that anyone has, an individual has. And I think that's what we need to talk about when we're talking about ageing now, because there's a confidence that can come if we own the wisdom of everything that we've learnt on our life journey. And if you can kind of impart that with confidence on the people around you, I think that's going to be beneficial for everyone.
Yes, I was trying to think about the upsides of ageing, and I thought, you know more stuff, although you can't always convince younger people that's true.
I know. That's the sad thing, isn't it, in modern society, and I think we need to kind of switch that up a little bit, because in other cultures and many years ago, the people in the Middle Age were the wise ones, the sages in the villages and the communities, and people would be looking up to them for their wisdom and their life experience. But in today's day and age, we're not doing that enough, and perhaps that's what's missing.
You know, my grandfather, and he did look very dashing in his uniform, he was from Adamitabi, as were many members of the Light Horse. And it wasn't until I went to see the movie about the Light Horse Because his story was that after the big charge, everybody was having a beer and saying, what about us then? But because he was a surveyor in civilian life, he had to go around as a sapper and check the wells for mines. But I thought, you know, I wish I'd spoken to him more, because that would have been so exciting. And he did other things as well. And I really wish I had spent more time with him. And there's a couple of guys like that. I mean, there's an old boy that I met who was a film director in the heyday of movies. And he seemed to take a liking to my company. And I just wish I'd capitalized on that more. So I don't know. How do we turn that around?
Well, I think in the individualist culture that we live in, we kind of separate ourselves, don't we? We put our elderly in another place, and we don't, they're not in the village where we're learning from them. So it's something that we need to think about, because every single one's a story. Every single person has a walking story, and we're not tapping into the wisdom of that enough, because there's a lot we can learn from our parents and our parents' parents and our relatives, and we're not tapping into it to apply to our own lives going forward.
Somebody said once, it's just a pity that all of life's problems can't hit us when we're 20 and we know everything. But once you get past that stage and you realise you don't know everything, maybe we should make it a point to spend a little more time with the older folks, because they may have some good stories and insights to impart to us.
They will, yes. Yeah, I think we often think we know everything, but if we sat and actively listened to some of the elderly people around us, we'd, even though it might have been a different time where they were our age, a lot of that wisdom is still very applicable to it is now. And, you know, often it was harder times as well that they went through. So listening to their trials and tribulations would be very beneficial.
Dr. Marnie, I appreciate your time and comments as always. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Dr. Marnie Lishman, health and community psychologist.